Are you ready to head to a really big pumpkin patch in Missouri? I love pumpkins and find the diversity of the varieties so alluring. 20 specialty varieties and over 6,000 pumpkins. Can you imagine all of the carving and decorating? Not to mention the pies. Welcome to Talk Farm to Me, the podcast that brings you closer to the power of your choices, one farmer at a time. You know what? This is the second best place to meet a farmer. Knowing a farmer in person is my top recommendation. That's it. You will learn more in one sitting by being here today than you would in 20 trips to the farmer's market. Talk Farm to Me is for people like you who care about their personal and family health, saving the planet with real choices that actually have an impact, and building strong, thriving local and regional economies. And because of that, you want, we want, to better understand the lives and work of the farmers who contribute to important solutions and how they do that. It's a tall order, but the farmers and I are totally up for it. I am your host, Dana DePrima. I didn't grow up on a farm, and I'm not really a farmer, but I have walked a step or two in a farmer's shoes in the last 15 years on my little farm, and I know enough to lead us down this dusty farm road, you and me together, curious about what's going on and concerned about the future. Finances have been and continue to be a great challenge for farmers. Where most farmers in the U.S. have jobs outside of farming, calling farming their part-time job. Well, farming is anything but part-time. It takes up a lot of time and energy, especially after working a day job. Today, we are fortunate to have time to chat with four Farmers Grant awardees, Scott and Delissa Maynard of Maynard Family Farms, located in East Prairie, Missouri. Maynard Family Farms is a produce farm where they mainly grow watermelon and pumpkins after working their day jobs.
I'm usually the one that spends the majority of the day on the farm when I'm here. I travel a lot for work, so it's pretty challenging between the two of us to split up the task and make sure everything's getting done. Day to day, the start is A, go out and check on how things are doing. B, make sure the irrigation's running. What do we need to be spraying? What's the fertilizer rate for the day? Just overall walk the field and see what problems we need to fix and how we need to fix them. There's a lot of tasks that go along with it, depending on the stage of the crop, depending on what time of year it is, from field work to spraying to fertilizing, the whole nine. We tend to split things up pretty evenly, but she works from home every day and I'm managers of a sales territory. So this is more or less a part-time, full-time job for us.
Throughout our history, it's been normal for farmers to have off-farm jobs, but that number has increased dramatically from 37% in the mid-70s to around 96% now. This rising number indicates the financial struggle farmers face, causing burnout among farmers as well as being a catalyst for farms shutting down. In the most recent Census of Agriculture, just released in February 2024, the U.S. has lost 142,000 farms from 2017 to 2022.
So that's really the difference, is just trying to make it all work. So we don't really have a schedule. A farm, you set a task for the day in the morning, and usually it changes within 5 minutes of walking onto the farm, really.
So walk me out into your fields right now. What would I be looking at?
Well, yesterday we've actually started to just finish picking the pumpkin crop. So we're towards the end of really our field production. So now we're just picking what's left, binning up inventory, trying to figure out what we have to sell for the rest of the season. Right now, that's really where we're at. So yesterday we spent time walking the fields, checking what's good, what's not. It's been a really hard season with the weather this year. Super dry, super hot all season long with no letting up from the weather. So we're getting a little bit of rain today, which is nice, but that's what we've been doing as of late, is just checking to see what we can pick for the rest of the season.
So just curious, do you count how many pumpkins you have?
But it's a weird way to keep track of inventory. I mean, a lot of other crops obviously are by weight or by bushel, or pumpkins and watermelons is usually by count. So just depending on the variety, we'll try and keep track of count per bin and just label them based on that.
All right, give it to me. I want to hear some numbers.
Depending on the variety, anything from minis all the way up to large jack-o'-lanterns right now. Large jacks, you're talking 40 to 50 a bin. So far, we've probably picked 1,000, 1,500 jacks. Specialty varieties are a big crop for us as far as pumpkins go. I guarantee we've picked 5,000 to 6,000 so far just on the specialty varieties we've added.
Now, what's a specialty variety that's popular?
So we actually grew probably 15 or 20 specialty varieties this year. But I think one of the most popular ones that a lot of people grow is called a Cinderella. And so that's like a flat, round, dark orange one. And then Jaredale is another popular one. Those are a bluish gray color. So those are personally probably our favorites. And those are the most popular, I think, that a lot of people grow. But we did expand a lot. And we've got more colors this year. We've got tan ones, green, lots of different shades of pink and blue. So we've really enjoyed seeing all the different colors and shapes and things that we could grow this year. And so we're narrowing down the varieties for next year. This was an experimental year for us to try a bunch of different kinds and kind of figure out what we like or don't like. So next year we'll narrow it down a little bit and just focus on the few that we really do like, but those are some of the most popular, I think.
Well, that's awesome, because I know that the Four Farmers Grant really supported you guys experimenting with some new varieties. So it's really fun to hear.
One of the cornerstones of the Four Farmers movement is to provide grants to small and mid-sized farmers across the United States to support their operations, from seeds to equipment to infrastructure, and even to help make up for a loss. Four Farmers has awarded 75 grants so far, and Maynard Family Farm received one of them.
Tell me a little bit about how you're selling your products.
We have a stand set up that is self-serve, so we do it on the honor system. So we just keep it stocked and people can stop by and shop anytime they want, and you know, they just leave their money. This year, we did more towards kind of a retail store. So we did open a storefront, and we have that open 3 days a week where people can actually come in store and pick out their pumpkins. And we have some other pantry goods and things like that, just specialty stuff that we like. And then this weekend, actually, we are going to a fall festival in a town that's not too far from here. But we went last year and we had a lot of success. So we're going to take a big load again this year on Saturday. And we've sold to some like local churches for their events and some other community markets and things like that. So we're hoping to eventually get more into the wholesale spectrum and ship them out bins at a time. But right now, most of it's just local sales.
You mentioned earlier some of your challenges: heat, not a lot of rainfall. Talk to me about that and any other challenges that you've been facing.
The biggest thing for us this year has been weather. We were at a point where we were 48 days without rain in our county, and row crops and specialty crops and everything has suffered overall. So that has been probably one of the biggest challenges. I'd say the second largest challenges overall has actually been a new one for me. We deal with nematode pressure in corn and soybeans, but we found out that pumpkins are very susceptible to root knot nematode, which has been a huge issue for us.
Nematodes are microscopic roundworms that affect crop health and yield. These nematodes can damage plants by feeding on roots, causing stunting and reduced productivity. Farmers manage nematode pressure through practices such as crop rotation, planting resistant varieties, using nematicides cautiously, improving soil health, and regularly monitoring nematode populations. Integrated approaches are crucial for effective nematode management, considering both environmental sustainability and crop productivity.
I noticed it in the plants early, and they just didn't look normal. Getting their standard fertilizer that we normally do, actually a little extra this year, and the plants didn't take off the way they did last year, and it really caused a lot of issues. Thankfully, we set a lot of fruit early, and we still had a pretty good harvest. But I would say that was one of the biggest challenges that was unexpected for us, was just, you know, using some agronomic knowledge and going out and digging roots and figuring out what was actually happening. So I had to rely on a couple of my friends that work with us on the row crop farm that do some scouting for us in those crops. And they didn't think it would be an issue either, but now we know, so we can plan for it in the future. But all of our challenges have been weather related this year. Sales have been good overall, but it's been a hot, dry, arid year for us and everybody in the area. And the little rain we had was all within a day. And we probably got 16 to 17 inches in the matter of 48 hours. And then some of my growers across the river from us in Western Kentucky, they got a little over a foot of rain in the matter of 24 hours.
As the amount of rainfall decreases, the temperatures have been rising, creating a recipe for disaster for farmers and their crops, where water is being zapped from the soil and vegetation due to the warmer weather and no rainfall to replenish it.
So you go from zero rain for 40 days to over a foot in 24 hours. It can be pretty stressful for the crop, no matter what you do.
Now, is this sort of weather pattern relatively new for your area?
We always have talked, you never get a drought year 2 years in a row. At least that's what the old timers have always said in our area. But this is the second year in a row for us that we've had pretty crazy weather. And for me, traveling the country and dealing with a lot of different crops, you see the weather patterns changing to an extent of what's actually normal. I don't think there is a normal anymore, and I don't know that we'll ever get back to that. But yeah, it's making growing a normal crop a little bit more difficult, to say the least.
Tell me a little bit about your goals for the farm.
We started the farm, we thought was going to be a little bit of a hobby to begin, and now we're growing double the acres we did last year, and we're probably going to grow double the acres we did this year, just due to the request of people wanting to buy more product from us and sell more. So I guess the goal for us originally starting was not necessarily so much wholesale. I really enjoy talking to people, and I think we like working with the public. So we want to get more into ag tourism and education to an extent. We like to work with the local FFAs and 4-H's and show them that there is a crop in our county other than just row crops.
FFA stands for the Future Farmers of America, which is a youth organization in the United States that initially focused on agricultural education, but has expanded to encompass a broader range of agricultural and leadership activities. 4-H is a global youth development program present in many counties. It emphasizes personal development in the areas of head, heart, hands, and health, offering diverse educational programs and activities with a focus on hands-on learning in fields such as agriculture, science, and leadership.
The majority of our products here are row crops, corn, wheat, and soybeans, and cotton. And it's turned into more of a little bit of an educational deal for us and showcase what can be grown around here. And I think we're going to do a lot more wholesale, and we hope to continue the retail side and grow into an ag tourism role too. Bring people onto the farm, show them what we do, show them where their food comes from, where pumpkins come from, just provide a little bit of education as well and fun for a family environment.
I really think that people underestimate the power of agrotourism, meaning as a customer, the opportunity to get onto a farm and have a really beautiful day can be super fun for your family, but can also really raise awareness about, hey, yeah, it was a really dry year and we were really lucky because we set fruit early, like you said. Can you guys talk to me a little bit about the Four Farmers Grant and just to hear a little bit about that from your perspective?
Yeah, sure. So we were made aware of the grant and were nominated by my sister-in-law. So my brother and sister-in-law also grow pumpkins over in Western Kentucky. And I think she was the one that saw the post and you were looking for Missouri applicants. And so she tagged us in it. And so that's why we applied, honestly, is because we didn't hear about it before then. So the process in general was super easy, the way you had it set up, where we just go on and kind of tell our story. And honestly, I think we were pretty surprised that we were awarded one of the grants. So that was obviously super exciting, and we're very thankful for that. But yeah, that allowed us to expand our varieties this year and just branch out and try some new things that otherwise we might not have been able to do, just because that does add up really quick, especially with those specialty varieties. They're a little bit more expensive than just a standard jack-o'-lantern or something like that. So the process in general was super simple and super rewarding.
I always like to know what farmers would love for people who aren't in farming to know and understand about the business that they're in. Can you share a little bit about what your thoughts are?
Really, the amount of time that goes into it, which I know that sounds kind of basic, because like we said, we both have full-time jobs on top of this. I do my normal job till about 4 o'clock every day, and then we go and do all the farming stuff. He has a little more flexibility and can do more throughout the day. But ever since April, when we started planting our watermelons and our vegetables, and then eventually moved into pumpkins and the later season stuff, there's rarely a night that we get home before 8:30, 9 o'clock. Just because we have to spend every minute that we possibly can out there getting stuff done. Otherwise, the weeds get away from you, which they did anyway this year, or things die, or, you know, you don't get picked what you need to get picked to sell the next day. And honestly, something that a lot of people don't think about. Even our friends are like, man, we hate this time of year because we never see you. And we're like, yeah, tell us about it, because we have no time to do anything else. But I think that's, it's just the time commitment is something that a lot of people just don't understand when it comes to farming.
I grew up in an ag family, and my entire life and our family's entire life has revolved around agriculture in one way, shape, or form. I've gotten the opportunity to work in a lot of different ag industries and facets, and have worked in almost every side of it to this point. But just the time and the care that goes into raising a crop, people, I think, are so disconnected from the fact that there is a person behind everything you eat and every crop that is grown. And those people care more about that than anything else that they can do. I think there's just an innate ability for growers to care. And why we decided to start the farm is I'm happier growing a crop and farming than I am doing anything else. And just know that it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of risk. It takes a lot out of your life and your family to commit to growing a crop, no matter what it is. Farmers care about the people they feed. And I will say that about farmers is they are eternal optimists, because it takes a lot to spend millions of dollars a year to put in something that they may never make a dime off of. So it's a big risk for a lot of people. And I would say that's what I'd love people to know that more than anything, is have that connection again with the farm and understand that the people that grow your food really care about where it goes and how it's done.
I appreciate that so much. It's a lot about what I'm trying to do, is to connect people with exactly that message. And you're right, people are disconnected. So I hope that people are going to get out on your farm and really see that process. So many memories are built around a pumpkin patch.
Yeah, this is the fun time of the year. I wish I could grow pumpkins year round, because it's always something different. You walk into the field and you get ready to pick and you're like, ooh, I like that one. Or I like that one more. Or this one's different. Or this one's got a lot of ridges. Or this one's this color. I think we both love fall the most, probably. And I think that's why we enjoy growing pumpkins so much. And neither one of us are wearing our farm shirts today. We have our own logoed items and pumpkins and watermelons on the shirts. So it's fun to see your entire family walk around town wearing one of your shirts too, because free advertising, that's what I tell them. We're just thankful for the grant, and it really helped us do some things we didn't think we would be able to do this year. And it's a lot of things in the works, and we hope to continue to grow and see the farm thrive and pass it on to our kids.
This has been another episode of Talk Farm to Me, the podcast that brings you closer to the power of your choices, one farmer at a time. I told you this was a good place to meet and get to know some farmers, Scott and Alyssa Maynard from Maynard Family Farms in Missouri. All those pumpkins. I thought growing 76 in one season was a big deal. This is for real. Thanks for being here on the farm today, talking farm and filling our insatiable curiosity about what's going on with farmers, so we can better understand and deconstruct our concerns about the future of food. Talk Farm to Me is produced by yours truly and Sonia Dillon, with original music and sound design by Russell Chapa. Don't forget to check the show notes for links and other amazing resources. See you soon, right around the corner, maybe at a farm near you.